But I want us to go over that confession together before we look at a few things in the Word of God. So he says, 2020 is my year and decade of harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time. I hear the sound of abundance of rain, the former and latter rain in the same month, the blade, the ear, and the full harvest in the same season. Manifestation, vision, and faith are all ready now. All things are possible unto me now. And I believe there will be a performance of every word spoken now. I am blessed in all things, like Father Abraham was. God anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There will be showers of blessings over our household, and our storehouses overflow with heaven's best. I am confident, certain, bold, fearless, and undaunted. Even when pushed beyond my limits, I bask in heavenly grace and keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. No deficit will affect my destiny, and I will outlast my enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I will not be silent, but will boldly declare what thus saith the Lord. His words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth, and they will never return to him void. God has set before me an open door, and no man will ever shut it. Jesus has conquered the world and deprived it of power to stop me. The joy of the Lord is my strength and stronghold. Although the fig tree has not blossomed yet, and although there are no fruit on the vine yet, I will rejoice in the Lord and exalt in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and helps me walk upon my high places. I'm not done yet. I see stars and favor just above me. I see miracles and possibilities just ahead of me. I see breakthroughs and open doors all around me. I see glory, and Jehovah Jireh will see to it. 2020 is my year and decade of harvests, joy, open doors, possibilities, and overflow. I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's harvest time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I particularly love the paragraph down there that says, I am confident, certain, bold, fearless, and undaunted. We need to be that. We need to be that in this season. Even when pushed beyond my limits, these things going on right now can push you beyond your limits. But even when pushed beyond my limits, what do? Wallow in self-pity, cry, roll on the ground and wonder where my help is going to come from? No. Mm-mm. I bask in heavenly grace, and I keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. I keep pushing forward with a joyful heart. There's never been a good time as good as this time to push forward with a joyful heart. No deficit will affect my destiny. You know, there are deficits all over right now. National deficits, global deficits, institutional deficits, governmental leadership deficits, financial deficits, health deficits. There are all sorts of deficits right now. But no deficit will affect your destiny, and you will outlast your enemy. That enemy is using one tool right now. It's just one tool, but he's really the enemy. He's just hiding behind that tool. We know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, sometimes as human beings, we delight very much in having something or someone to blame for the things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we forget that just by virtue of being in this corrupted world, the Bible says in the world, there is tribulation. That's what he said. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He says, and I have deprived it of power to harm you.
Amen.
It's John chapter 16, verse 33. So sometimes it's very easy to point the finger and blame people when things are not going right in our lives. It makes us feel good sometimes to say, yeah, that's why. It's because of that person or that government or that group or this or that. But with the kind of situation we're dealing with right now, there is really no one to blame other than the enemy. We all know it's the enemy. And there might even be people who are confused who say, oh, maybe God's judgment over the world has begun. Well, I don't know. But, you know, our job is not to be theological pundits. Our job is to preach the word. And in this season, with everything going on, with the plague and all of the devastations and destructions going on, the word that the Lord has given to us is, I will be good to you. I will take care of you.
Amen.
I will protect you.
Amen.
I will preserve your life.
Amen.
So I don't know whether it's judgment and I don't know whether it's something else. But one thing I do know is, as a child of covenant, the Lord has you covered.
Yes.
The covenant is our defense,
yes,
against every assault,
amen,
of COVID-19.
Amen.
The covenant, our covenant with Jehovah God, is our defense against the assaults of COVID-19. Our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against the assault of COVID-19. It's very interesting what the Lord helped me see. You know, the assaults of a plague like this are not just health. Health is powerful enough, is significant enough. But things like this affect not just our physical health, our physical well-being, affect everything about our lives. I mean, even as it is right now, all of our lives are already different from the way they were just 2 weeks or 2 months ago.
Right.
Things like this affect everything. They turn everything upside down. But our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of COVID-19, whatever that implies, whatever that brings, whether it's in the realm of physical well-being, in the realm of financial well-being, in the realm of institutional well-being, in the realm of relationships, in the realm of the integrity of our families, the integrity of our anything else, our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of COVID-19. Our defense is our covenant,
amen,
with Jehovah God.
Amen.
There's been no better time to understand what that covenant promises and what that covenant delivers. If you and I were alive in the time of the plague, when the firstborn were killed in the land of Egypt, and we were in the clan of the children of Israel that had been promised a separate and a different experience from what the nation of Egypt were experiencing, if we were living in those times, we would want to know what's been promised us. We would want to know, okay, all right, so that won't touch me. What about that one? Okay, that one too won't touch me. What about how does this affect this? Okay. What about the other one? You want to know. I would want to know. That's why his covenant names, not just knowing them mentally, but having a relationship, having a personal experience with those covenant names. Like we heard last week, his name is Yahweh. You know, you can know him as this, and you can know him as that, and you can know him as this, and you can know him as that. But when something comes up in your life that you have never experienced before, you have to have a revelation of him and a revelation of his name to know and to understand that he is the one that he is. I am that I am. So yes, he dealt with a problem of multiplication. He could deal with a problem of finances. He could deal with a problem of provision. But he can also deal with a problem of a 40-year-old stronghold in a foreign land. He is Yahweh. Yes. He is Jehovah God. Yes. That's who he is. Say, I am that I am. See, he always is. Yes. He's never a God who operates in the past. A lot of times, the things he did in the past become like memorials for us to be able to reference and to encourage us and to remind us that his abilities are not limited today. Amen. The fact that he did that, I love the song that we sang earlier. He can do it again. He's doing it again. He's not just a God who could do it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He can do it again, and he is doing it again. Hallelujah. And no matter how it presents itself, one of our favorite scriptures in this season should be Romans chapter 8, where he went and listed, you know, the man listed everything. What can separate us from the love of God? And then he started listing everything. And he listed as many things as he knew that the people could relate with. And then when it was all said and done, he said, nay. He said, nay. That is, in case I have not mentioned some things that may come up. Nay. Nothing. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So what I would like to do is take a few minutes, and just before we share communion, I would not preach for long. I have a lot, but thank God where Pastor Tino announced earlier, we're going to do Wednesdays, because every time, you know, it's all we have now. If you are staying at home, I mean, it's like the news channels are really our only, and every time I turn that thing on, it's always bad news. Always bad news. You know, sometimes you're driving, and if you have these apps that, you know, pop up on your phone, you know, if you're not careful and you don't keep your eyes on the road, you can, you know, something terrible can happen, because there is always bad news. And so what we want to do is we want to flood ourselves. We can do our part. That's the little we can do. We want to flood the airwaves within the channels that have been given to us with the word of God. We want to put the word of God out there. So you can tune there and say, okay, you can hear some good news. And I'm very excited about some of the little things that we've done since the beginning of the year. The Lord has us prepared. We're working, actually, I think Pastor Manuel is going to finish work on this podcast, mini podcast that we're going to be sending out very soon. We've been working on that since January of this year. We're going to send that out like maybe every week. It's just one short soundbite word. Short soundbite word. So we're going to keep sending out the word every way we can. Keep sending out the word every way we can. And no matter what happens, all will be well. So let's take a few minutes and just look in the word of God today, just very briefly, and then we're going to share communion together. All right, let's read together in Psalm 23. Wow, it took me so long to get to the word. Sorry. All right, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just say a few things about this particular scripture here before we take communion today. One of God's eternal covenant names, among so many others, is the name Shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. Shepherd actually is at the bottom of the ladder of all of the different descriptive names of God. And for those of you who are very much into like Hebrew words and things like that, one of his names that describes him in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rohi. Rohi is R-O-H-I. That just means the Lord who is always my shepherd. The Lord who is always my shepherd. Now, I like the way David is. Of course, we all know this is a psalm of David. And notice how David personalizes this. He says, he is my shepherd. He doesn't just say, he is our. Yes, he is our. God, David definitely knows. He knows. And you'll see a couple of scriptures that we'll read here. The Lord was the shepherd of the entire nation. The people, in Psalm 100 verse 3, he said, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So, David knows we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. But for some reason, David decided to personalize this. It's coming from a place of non-mental acceptance or mental awareness. It's coming from a place of deep personal heart spirit revelation. He knows God as his shepherd. He knows him as his shepherd. Yes, God is, he is great, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's glorious. He can do this and he can do that, and he created and he can create and he can, yes, but he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. It's amazing how intimate that knowledge is or can be to a fragile, vulnerable sheep who is exposed to danger in a moment of time. Maybe strayed away from where the rest of the flock was, or maybe even the entire flock came under the assault of a wolf in the wilderness, and maybe the shepherd was out taking a break somewhere, and here comes this wolf attacking this entire flock. It's powerful for that one sheep, that one tender sheep, to have an intimate knowledge, a personal revelation, while that storm is raging and all of the sheep are running helter-skelter, trying to take cover. It is so powerful for that one sheep to have a personal revelation that I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. So I'm not alone. I'm not responsible for my own care. I'm not responsible for my own well-being. I'm not responsible for my protection. I'm not responsible for my provision. I'm not responsible for my restoration. I'm not responsible for my preservation. I'm not responsible for my promotion. I'm not responsible for my direction. It's so powerful to know I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And he is a good shepherd. I believe that this is one of the reasons why the Lord was in love with David as a young man. David's love affair with the Lord was so deep that even when David went to fight Goliath and to take down this Goliath, he took with him a shepherd. Everywhere David went, he took things with him that reminded him that he was a shepherd boy. The 5 stones that he used to kill Goliath were kept in a little thing he wrapped around himself from his shepherd boy days. And it's amazing to me because I believe one of the reasons why the Lord was in love with David, you know, there's even a scripture in the New Testament where the Lord said, I found David, he's a man after my own heart, is because I believe that where every time God looked at David, he saw something in him that mirrored who he was. He saw something in David that mirrored who he was. Look at this scripture in Isaiah 40 verse 11, where he talks about the kind of shepherd that the Lord is. And God being our shepherd is a theme that runs through the entire Bible. It's not just an Old Testament concept at all. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, look at what it says. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom. And, watch this, he will gently lead those that are with young. See, this shepherd, he's such a skillful, expert shepherd. He knows how to deal with every one of his sheep at the level where they are. He knows how to feed the one that is hungry. He knows how to gather the ones that are scattering. He knows how to place on his arms the one that needs comforting. He knows how to carry in his bosom the ones that are fearful. He knows how to gently lead those that are vulnerable because they are pregnant and they are heavy with young and they don't have the strength to find their own way. This shepherd, he has a skillful approach to every one of his sheep. That's why the Bible calls him a good shepherd. In fact, Jesus in the New Testament, he called himself, I am the good shepherd. He called him, I'm the good shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus, I am the good shepherd. And in the book of Hebrews, the Bible describes him. It says, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep. Now, I want you to notice what we see here in Isaiah 40 verse 11. How he carries. Can you imagine how much security the members of this sheepfold feel? Sorry, I'm not hollering. And I just want to be able to share this with you just intimately. So bear with me. You know, I mean, it's really, I'm sure it's going to be very helpful to do some preaching and some, because, you know, to kind of stir things up a little bit. And I might do that. Who knows? You know, every now and then that preaching anointing comes on me too. But this one here, especially this aspect of his being a shepherd is just so, is tender, intimate. And I trust God and I'd asked him for the grace to be able to communicate that with you. I want you, you know, I want you to get a sense that there's a God who cares for me. I want you to get a sense. He loves me. He cares for me. He cares about me. Everything that touches me touches him. He's tender with me. He's loving. He's caring. He is willing to carry me. You know, all of us, you know, in your midnight hour, you know, sometimes when the curtains are drawn and the lights are all turned off, we have this, you know, we all come to the end of ourselves every now and then. You know, sometimes even when you've done everything you know to do, sometimes when you turn off the light and you go on your bed, you close your eyes, it just hits you right between your eyes. You really don't know what's going to happen next. You have no idea. And things start racing through your mind. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if, and you know, the enemy is very, very skillful in putting thoughts. What if, and this, and then it will go from you and go to your loved ones. It will go from your loved ones and go to your children. Go to your children. You go to the things that concern you. And before you know it, your heart will be racing. You're on the bed trying to sleep. You may find yourself sweating. Scared. See, I want you to remember in those moments that you have a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's not unaware of everything that you're feeling. He's not unaware of those thoughts, those fears, those concerns, those anxieties. And he's so skillful. He knows exactly what you need in each moment. And he's willing and he's able to deliver that. So I believe that one of the reasons why David was so dearly beloved to the Lord was, I think that every time the Lord looked at him, he saw a part of him in David being such a shepherd. Now you've seen God's ministry of shepherding. Look at David's ministry of shepherding in Psalm 78. And look at how the Bible describes David as a shepherd. In Psalm 78 and verse 72, let's take it from verse 70. He said he chose David. So God chose David, also his servant, and he took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes that were great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So David fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's the ministry of David as a shepherd. And if you compare this scripture to Isaiah 40:11 that I read earlier on, you see, David mirrored exactly how God was a shepherd to his flock. David was such a good shepherd. So how amazing, how significant that he's the same person writing Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It takes a shepherd to know one.
Yeah.
It takes a shepherd to know one. And let's listen to David. David is telling us the Lord is a good shepherd. Jesus said, I don't even want you having any doubts about it. In John chapter 10, verse 10, you know, the Bible says, it's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus, the Lord wants us to, he does not want us to have any controversy about this. Look at in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief that comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it how?
More
abundantly. More abundantly. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. It says, I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now, he tells us why he's the one who does that. Why in the face of coronavirus, why in the face of every other assault and plague that the world might try to bring into our lives, he tells us where he stands.
Amen.
In our lives. He tells us right there in the following verse, in verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He said, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life. He said, he's different from a hireling in verse 12. He says, because the hireling sees that, he doesn't see the sheep as belonging to him, as him being responsible for taking care of the sheep. He sees the sheep only as a means to an end. So when he sees the wolf coming, what does he do? He takes off.
Yeah, yeah.
He takes off. off. Why? Because the sheep were really not his primary. He never saw that as his primary interest, his primary obligation, his primary responsibility from the beginning. He saw that sheep as a means to an end. But Jesus said, when I see the wolf coming, I don't take off. What do? I give my life for the sheep. That's why I stand in between the sheep and the wolf. And I say, for you to reach that sheep, you are going to have to eat me first.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know you can't eat him because he's Jehovah God. He is Yahweh. Hallelujah. He is that he is. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So he says, the hireling flees in verse 13 because he's a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. And then again, he repeats it in verse 14. Amazing. I am the good shepherd. Watch this. And I know my sheep. And I am known of my sheep. Watch this now. I'm a skillful shepherd. I know the one that is vulnerable. I know the one that needs tender care. I know the one that needs to be slapped a little bit behind the head. I know the one that needs to be, I am the good shepherd, he said. I'm a skillful shepherd. Sometimes the sheep don't know what they need. Sometimes someone wrote a song, he said to be broken, he said to be broken was not good to me, but God knew it was good for me. He said to be broken was not good to me. That is me, I did not want to be broken. He said, but God knew it was good for me. Your shepherd knows when it's time to be broken. Your shepherd knows when it's time to be encouraged, built up. Your shepherd knows when it's time to be sat down. Your shepherd knows when it's time to run with you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes that little tender sheep developing his limbs, or her limbs and different things, and runs a little bit and gets tired. And then the shepherd comes along and taps them and say, come on. Come on, come on, come on. You can. Yeah, no, I'm tired. I'm done. No, you got more within you. Say, come on, come on. Okay, let's do it together. And I want to show you, there are multiple ministries, multiple ways in which the shepherd ministers to the sheep. You can see a lot of that in Psalm 23, actually. So let's go back to Psalm 23 and try to close this up. Close it out soon. I want us to go and take communion quickly. But are you getting a revelation of the Lord, your good shepherd? He's your good shepherd. I want you to see a few things about the way he walks here. Now notice it says, back to Psalm 23, from verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, that's David is saying, I will not, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not want. It's not based on him. He said, because of him, I will not want. Amen. So then he says, he makes me lie down in green pasture. So I want to, let me just quickly list this to you, and then you can see that through it. Because I'm going to read through Psalm 23 one more time. But I want you to write some of this down. These are the ways he ministers to the sheep. So he has a ministry of providing direction. He has a ministry of providing provision. He has a ministry of providing restoration. He has a ministry of providing protection. He has a ministry of providing preservation. And he has a ministry of providing promotion. Let me go over that again one more time. The good shepherd to the sheep has a ministry of providing direction. He has a ministry of providing provision. He has a ministry of providing restoration. He has a ministry of providing protection. He has a ministry of providing preservation. And he has a ministry of providing promotion. Now notice here, David said, now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Something I should say to you. Now, just how many things are those? Direction, provision, thank you. Restoration, protection, preservation, promotion. Excellent. Now, I want you to understand that every one of those things, all the other five are tied into the first one. the first and the most significant thing that the shepherd does for the sheep is he provides direction. He provides direction. Everything else you see there is tied into the direction that the shepherd gives to the sheep. The provision that he has prepared for the sheep is tied to the direction he gives them. See, notice that he says, he makes me lie down. See, the reason he said that, he makes me lie down beside the green pastures. Understand, everywhere in that rough terrain, in that wilderness, is not green pastures. And the sheep does not know where green pastures are.
Yeah.
But the shepherd does.
Yeah.
So when the sheep says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, the sheep is telling us, David is telling us, God, the good shepherd, knows where the provision that I need is, and he leads me there, and when I get there, he helps me sit down there and get the provision that I need.
Amen.
I want you to understand something. This is very important. A lot of times, sheep don't know what sheep needs. That's why sheep needs shepherd. Many times, sheep doesn't know what sheep needs. That's why the sheep needs a shepherd. It's like little children that are just growing up. I'm not talking about grown children. Little children and their parents. You know, those little children don't know what they need. If you ask a little three-year-old and say, hey, tell me what is the most important thing you need. What is the most important thing you need, Grace? There you go. All day, all night. Right? Tell me, what is the most important thing you need, Enoch? Tell me. What is the most important thing you need? All these kids, they're going to tell you, oh, I know. They don't even have to think about it, right? They don't even have to think. Because they think they know. But sheep doesn't know what sheep needs. Amen. Children don't know what children. The parents do know. Parents know because they know. The children don't know many times. So a lot of times, the direction that the shepherd provides for the sheep, a lot of times, the sheep may not even recognize the importance of that direction. Now, because it is a partnership though, because it's a covenant relationship, our part is to yield to whatever he does. So, as sheep, if I know my place as sheep, my place as his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, like Psalm 100 verse 3, I think it's verse 3 that says, where his people and the sheep of his pasture. If I recognize that I am the sheep of his pasture, what do I do then? When he directs and says, we are going right, what do I need to do? Go right. Just follow. My job is to follow the good shepherd. My job is not to try to create the direction. That's not my job. This is a partnership. He is the one who knows. He knows where the green pasture is. See, I may even have heard some stories and think I know where the green pasture is. But I'm telling you, that green pasture that somebody told me about 2 weeks ago, and they gave me a map to get there, I may get there and find out that 100 other sheep were told at the same time that they told me about that green pasture. And 100 other sheep got the same GPS. So by the time I get there, 3 weeks later, what used to be green pasture. They didn't lie to me. It really used to be green pasture. But by the time I got there, 3 weeks later, it's no longer, all that green is gone. It's all burnt out. You know why? Because 100 other sheep already, they descended on that green pasture and they devoured it. But you know what? The shepherd knows where my green pasture is. He knows the one that has not been invaded yet. He knows. And he knows how to get there. It's not my job. So I need to make that point. I don't want to start preaching now. Pray for me. I'm trusting God to help me. I'm trying my best here. I'm trying. So, So now understand. I just wanted to make a point. That's what God means on that rabbit trail. Every other thing is tied to his direction. So I want to say something to you, and I'll talk more about this later on, maybe next week if I can get to it. I don't know, whenever. But I know we cited this in the last Wednesday teaching that I think I did. The same day when I had this encounter with the Lord. And I was getting ready for the last Wednesday teaching of the Daniel fast. And I had my notes. I had what I was supposed to be ministering, actually, because we had done a Sunday. I wanted to wrap up the grace. I was teaching on the graces. And I talked about the grace of help on Sunday. And I wanted to, the last grace, I talked about the grace of joy the Sunday before, maybe two Sundays before, where I talked about three graces. I talked about the grace of joy. And then I talked about the grace of help, which I took a long time to talk about. I think maybe two Sundays in a row. And then I didn't have a Sunday left because I think we're wrapping up the fast. We're at the end of the month. So I was going to use the Wednesday to minister on the grace of vision. And of course, the week before, we had just given out this book on vision. And, you know, I was kind of encouraging everyone to read the book. So I was going to talk about the grace of vision that Wednesday. And, the Lord came. The presence of the Lord came. I didn't hear an audible voice. And well, you know when his glory fills the room and you have a deep encounter with him where your natural members are suspended and you can tell the Lord is dealing with you. And he's speaking to you on things that have absolutely no bearing to your mental capacity. And the things that the Lord was saying had nothing to do with I had no mental bearing to what he was saying. And I was enveloped in his glory when he started to say this to me. And the one thing the Lord said that afternoon, tell my people to get a revelation of my name. Tell my people to get a revelation of my name. And then he said, they are going to need it. They are going to need it. And that, of course, you know, after the whole thing was over, you know, and I think later on I told Pastor Tino, I said, wow, I had an encounter with the Lord today. And actually, after that, she was going to help me because the one assignment, and that Wednesday night, I started talking about the name of the Lord in that teaching service, which I changed my entire message, really. I started immediately talking about the covenant names of God and things like that. And Pastor Tinu was going to help me put some things together because she said she had done some studies where she had put some notes, and we were looking for ways where we could just send it out to everyone, like in maybe Word format or something, but somehow or the other, I don't know how we just couldn't get it done, right? I don't know what happened, but you know. When I came out of that and it hit me right between the eyes, there's a reason the Lord is saying that. Sheep doesn't always know what sheep needs. Sheep does not always know what sheep. All you know, you have all your mental things that you recognize mentally and things that you've, you know, but the shepherd knows what the sheep needs. And the Bible says we see in part. That's what the word of God says. We see in part. It says, but when perfection comes, we will know as we are known and we will see as we are seen. And so, a lot of times, understanding that everything is tied to direction. Was there something else I started talking about before this? Did I miss something somewhere? Everything is tied to direction. I feel like I've missed something. The first one is direction, right? Everything is tied to direction. And I was giving the example of provision, right? And I was saying, you know, I was giving you the example of there may be, what's it called? Green pasture. Which somebody told you about. Say, there's green pasture. Yeah, this is where I was going. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is where I was going. Thank you, Lord.
Do you know, things change so rapidly in life. Things change so rapidly in life. And none of us can afford to lean on what we know based on our human experience. We can't afford to do that. Even now, with what is going on, this was supposed to be a short message, so I better wrap it up. I'm sure I'm boring the people at home.
No, we're not.
Yeah, those of you here are not bored, I think. But I think those people behind those people behind the computers, I think they are bored already. So before they turn me off, we have to take communion together. You need this communion as a covering. So don't turn me off yet. And let me just make this point and close this out.
Things change so quickly that, you know, even in what we're dealing with right now, what you're going to find out, like someone was telling me yesterday, she handles securities and big accounts in banks and things like that. And one of our clients told her, my 401k, you know, people are always looking at that, in that bottom right-hand corner of that screen, you know, of that TV screen. You always have Dow, S&P, 500, you know. See, this is how people get hypertension. This is how some people just die without even knowing what killed them, right? So this person said, I'm looking at that, and of course they were looking at their portfolio at the same time, and you know, as that thing was dropping, said, "Whoa, I lost $40,000 just like that." I said, "I want to cash. I need to cash in all my money." So as she was telling me this story, I was laughing. I said, "Tell him he should be careful. He may just die. High blood pressure. He will just die. Take your eyes off of that S&P 500. Put your eyes on the Lord. Do you know, even in this season, what people are doing now? See, this is what they did up until this point. They followed everything they knew, everything they heard, what people had told them about, what people had done. They followed that, and now, suddenly they are at this point. Now, with everything going on, they are now beginning to listen to what everybody is saying again, and now they are beginning to take steps based on what is happening right now and what everybody is saying to them. And so what is going to happen is they are going to keep perpetuating that crisis in their lives. See, because they are not listening to Jehovah God. They are not listening to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows where the green pasture is, my friend. He knows. Glory to God. You know something the Lord showed me? As you know, you go read the story of the plague in Egypt. Do you know, at the same time when that plague, that word plague in the Hebrew is negev, it's horrible, it's destruction, obstructions, is everything that COVID-19 is. But do you know, at the same time that plague was happening in Egypt, do you know the children of Israel were reaping the harvest? How many of you have seen this? Do you know, in that same time, do you know that? In that same time, in that very same time, do you know, in that same time, the children of Israel were going to their neighbors, the Egyptian neighbors, and say, "Borrow me your gold." This is what they said. They didn't say, "Give me." Because if they said, "Give me," those ones would say, "Well, I lost my first son. Now you want to take all my gold." So, you know, but they didn't say, "Give me." They said, "Borrow me." Right? And the Bible said, the woman said, "You want, yeah, just take it and go. Take everything. It's borrowed, right? You are going to pay me back when all this is changed, right?" Yes, yeah, yeah. But what they did not realize is, in just a few days from now, there is going to be a gulf created between them and the people they just gave all their gold to. There will never, ever be a bridge for them to merge again. Ever. Forever. Forever. In the same moment, a separation was created. In the same moment, when everybody, the whole nation, was talking about a plague, and they were talking about who died and who's sick, and some people were reaping a harvest of silver
and gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the Lord told them, he said, and when you go, you will not go out empty. I will see to it, you will not go out empty. How on earth can the sheep ever know where the green pasture? You can't know. You can't know. But the good shepherd knows where the green pasture is. He knows. He knows all the silver and all the gold that some people have been hoarding. They are coming suddenly into your life. They are coming suddenly into your possession. And it's not just silver and gold. When the Lord said harvests, we may find more people willing to hear about God in this season than we ever have. We may. Who you try to talk to about God, say, no, don't even. Someone you try to give a leaflet, and they say, oh, I don't, no soliciting here. They may be happy to have soliciting them. People may be happy to have soliciting them. Because everybody is locked up and cooked up in their homes. Right? Now, they don't want you to bring them COVID-19. So if you go knock on their door, they will not, but, when all this is over, somebody might be willing to hear the word. Might be willing to consider. This can be your season of harvest, folks. Shepherd knows where the good pasture. Shepherd knows where the good pasture, the green pasture is. So just let him lead you. Let's close here today. I have so much more to say, but let's close this out. Just let him direct you. Everything is tied to his direction. Whether it's restoration or provision or preservation, protection, promotion. You should see how he promotes. He promotes by giving opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. There's opportunity everywhere right now. While the whole nation of Israel was crying and terrorized by this giant Goliath, David saw opportunity. David saw opportunity. Goliath became David's opportunity to get to the palace. Goliath. He was the enemy, the great giant. Everybody who saw Goliath were hiding. When David saw Goliath, but you know what? It was the shepherd who showed him. The shepherd showed him, he said, the good shepherd showed him, he said, this enemy that everybody is crying about, that is your opportunity. An opportunity produces promotion. So whether it's preservation, restoration, protection, provision, anything else that the shepherd gives, the first is direction. He knows. So let's listen to him. Let's hear him. Let's hear his word. Let's receive his word. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's take time out. Turn the TV off from time to time. I didn't say don't listen to the news. Don't follow. You get bored. You have to listen to something. But don't listen to the news all day. Get some comedy. Something that can make you laugh. Somebody says it's crazy to laugh right now. No, it's good. Laughter will do you good like medicine. Amen. Laugh over something. Watch a comedy, watch something. Don't watch all these things that create fear. You're already afraid. Don't watch horror. You're already afraid, then you go and watch this thing that is showing you that the whole world is about to die. And that this thing is knocking on people's doors and just latching them out. You watch something like that, in your mind, when you sleep at night, you'll be wondering COVID might be knocking on your door at night. Don't watch horror. Watch something edifying. Something that makes you laugh. Something that makes you rejoice. Something that, and then get in the word. You may not feel like reading two chapters of the Bible. Turn on a scripture. Get a Bible, audio Bible, or something. Amen. Or get some message that has been preached, like you were told, you go to a podcast or whatever. It doesn't have to be this ministry. Many ministries, everybody's putting things online. You know, go there, hear a good message that edifies you. Get direction. And when it's all over, the Lord will make everything work together for our good.
Amen.
Did you receive something today? Yes. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.